5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Okay. So, before we go too far down the rabbit hole, tickets are on sale.
Correct.
And this is for Sweeney Todd.
Correct.
Now, do you have a recommended age, like
13?
So,
anybody can come to the show, right. But we just tell them that there's adult themes, and it's probably safest for kids like 13 and up.
Okay.
But essentially the same as a PG-13 type rating.
Gotcha. I never did see the Johnny Depp movie. I mean, I kind of know the story, but I don't think I've ever seen the play. Do you guys use a lot of fake blood?
Actually, I don't. We might use a little bit of blood, but we're using other things to represent the blood.
Okay.
We do like ribbon or cloth or something when he
does
the slice. Yep.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can see that being way less messy.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of it for me is, you know, we'd have to have the whole crew stick around and clean up the entire stage after every rehearsal.
Well, it's reusable.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you can make your own with, like, what, Karo syrup, but...
Yeah, Karo syrup, Dawn, and
food coloring,
yeah.
But, yeah, I guess confetti or cloth or string or yarn, that makes more sense.
A confetti cannon would be awesome.
Right, yeah.
For a variety.
Do that all of a sudden.
Yeah, get one of those poppers.
Right. Confetti popper.
You could have the person with the knife hook it with their finger and pull the loop and just... That'd be pretty fun.
We have to make sure it's multicolored, though.
Right. Yes.
So, okay. Tickets. Now, can you still get them through the bookstore?
No, we only do ticket sales through the website now.
Okay. Yeah. And then, now last time I kind of sent people on the long way around, so what website exactly should they go to?
mafinearts.org.
Okay. mafinearts.org to get your tickets. So show runs what, Thursday night, Friday night,
Saturday
night,
and then Sunday's a matinee at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so four shows, Sunday being the matinee. What's the start time on these? 7?
6:30.
6:30.
Yep.
Okay, 6:30 start for the evening shows. Have tickets been selling so far?
Yeah.
Do you get numbers?
I can always go look. So ticket sales are a little slower than they have been for the last few shows, but we also started selling tickets about 2 weeks earlier than usual. So I think people maybe weren't expecting that. So I'm kind of hoping it picks up here pretty soon, though. But we've sold a decent amount in the last few days.
I got to be honest, like, for most people, 4 weeks probably seems like 4 years away.
Sure.
So I would be really surprised if it didn't get full or close to full each of the nights. I think it's going to be popular.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
that's a big hope.
Is this a musical?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the cast size? Is it a big one?
We're about 35.
Okay, so pretty good
pretty
size,
good size
cast.
Yep.
Nice. Now we have one returning visitor. London was here last time. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Perfect. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm Josh Obenhaus. I've been a part of, how many have I been in?
Four.
Like four of MAFA's productions. All incredible and so fun. Some of the most fun I've had in theater. So I'm excited to return for this one because it's been already just been such an adventure. I love it.
Now, are you a MAC student, community person?
No, I actually I'm going to Logan University in May. So
okay.
I thought about going to MAC for a few classes, and I wish I could have, but I wasn't able to.
Well, you're lost. No, I'm kidding. I'm
exactly.
kidding. It's fine. No, I mean, we're sad not to have you, but glad to be participating in the shows. Go ahead. Tell us about yourself.
I'm Liz Gonzelman, and I play the beggar woman in this one. I think this is my fourth show.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, and I started coming, and the first one that we did was
Music Man.
Yeah, and I just absolutely love this place. I've been able to do all the shows with at least one of my sons, which has been really super fun, and a lot of great memories. And this show, you guys got to come see this show. It is going to be amazing. The people in this room are so talented. And it is just so intriguing. Like, it's such an interesting plot. It's just so different than sort of the Sunshine and Lollipop musicals. It's just so interesting. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Great.
Between Liz and her two sons, they've been in almost every show we've done here. I think there's only been one or two in the last almost 3 years that they've... Her or Henry or Sam have been in almost every show we've done.
Somebody hasn't weaseled their way in from the family.
Right, yeah.
Of the three, who's the best performer?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
No comment.
And say that I am so proud of both of them. I would be a little biased because I think they're both awesome. So, good mommy.
You want to tell us about yourself?
My name is Sam Gallagher, and I've been a part of, this will be my third show with Maffa. And I mean, every single show that I've been a part of, I've been lucky enough in all three of the shows now to play the character that I wanted to play. I was a part of Beauty and the Beast, Hamlet, and now Sweeney Todd. And it's just been so much fun and just different. And it's just having the, meeting new people and that I've, you know, never gotten to work with, and even getting to work with people who I worked with before. It's an amazing experience, and it's a great time.
Cool. Now, are you a Mac student or a commuter person?
I was a Mac student.
Okay.
But I only have a couple classes left to finish. I'm just a community member.
Okay. Are you on the, what do they call it? The victory lap for graduation? Taking your time?
Oh, I'm definitely taking my time. We're looking at try number three.
Hey, man, there's no rush to get into the quote-unquote real world. So,
well, no, I agree on that.
Was it, Sandler. And he's like, stay as long as you can.
Billy Madison.
Yeah, I couldn't. The title escaped me, but he's like, grabs that kid. He's like, stay as long.
Kid's like, I want to be a grown-up. And he's like, don't ever say that.
And finally, last but not least.
Yes, I am Tiffany Gallagher, and I believe this is really only my second show performing with Maffa, but actually working with Maffa. I've been a part of all of the shows. So I work with them and on campus with Mac. So, I mean, it's just been incredible to be able to be in shows again and performing because Sam, my husband, and I, we don't always get to participate in everything. You know, life catches up with you, work, kids, and everything like that. But the Maffa family is so encouraging and helpful and always willing to work with people no matter what their background is, new, old, student, you know, community member, whatever. So, I mean, it's just incredible to be part of the show. This is a show that I love so much. I've always wanted to be in a Sondheim show. So now I get cool. to check that off.
Awesome. And then joining us again from last time is Jason Carr.
Hello.
Director, is that the official title?
Director of theater.
Now today you come with us with a broken appendage or some kind of...
Yeah, I apparently have two small tears in my rotator cuff, and I have no idea how I did it, so probably... sleeping accident?
I was
going to
say, I don't know how many memes I've come across where it's like, you know, you're 10 years old and you jump off the garage roof and you're okay. And
yeah.
You're 36 and you sleep with the wrong pillow and you got back surgery.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Basically.
Essentially how it goes. So is there a noticeable difference between preparing for I'll just use the word like a straight theater production versus a musical. Is it harder, easier, same, just different?
Well,
any thoughts?
From my standpoint, it's substantially different. With a straight play or just a play, you rehearse for 6 weeks. Musicals, we rehearse for 8 just because there's that much more to do. And when you have a non-musical show, you don't have specific music rehearsals and you don't have specific dance rehearsals. So you get to work on the characters more and you get to work on the material more. To where with this show, we spread out 2 more weeks, but every week, there's really no dance in this show. So we're doing 2 music nights because Sondheim music is way more challenging than the stuff that we've done. This is really, really difficult and interesting music. So we have an extra music rehearsal every week. So it's hard to get in that rhythm too when you're breaking up your rehearsals, because if you can have three or four nights in a row where you get to run act one, sure, by the end of those days in a row, you're pretty comfortable. But now we have a rehearsal, then a music rehearsal, and it kind of breaks it up a little bit. So that's my opinion. You guys?
For me, I think there's difficulties with both of them. Something that I find difficult about straight plays in general is that with musicals, you have the ability to express extreme emotion just by letting it out through the song. But when there's no music, you have to figure out a way to do that without singing. And that's always been more difficult for me. But it's also more fun at the same time, because you have to work a lot harder.
Yeah, memorization's a lot easier if the words have a melody.
That was going to be my follow-up.
I have very few lines once I have my songs memorized. In the songs you can sing along to in the car and stuff, it's a lot harder to run your lines while you're in the car if you're not looking at your script.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I find musicals more fun personally, but I'm just a huge musical fan.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I've done a play here yet that hasn't been a musical. So.
She needs to, though. We need to get her in a couple.
Sure.
I just love musicals, though.
The singing, the dancing, the pizzazz.
But yeah, I only have probably 12 lines in this show, so it's just music for me.
My follow-up, and it makes sense that being able to remember lyrics for a song seemingly would be much easier than just a... what's the word I'm looking for? Monologue or whatever your script is. Again, referencing memes, it's the, you're taking the test and it's like, what's a covalent bond? And your brain's like, I don't know, but here's the lyrics from Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper. It's like, why do you remember stuff for years and years that is seemingly irrelevant? But cool. So, trying to think, it's late in the day. My brain is is not working as well. Does anybody have a solo, or is it mostly group stuff?
They all do.
Everybody does. Okay, yeah. So each person.
When London was saying she only has 12 lines in the show, that's non-music. I mean, these five are the biggest characters in the show, essentially. There's a couple others that have pretty substantial parts too. Brian Womble is playing Judge Turpin. Ted Barnhouse is playing Beetle Bamford. So, and they all have solos and stuff, and these all do too. Substantial, big roles.
You didn't tell me.
I'm sorry. And Riley Hetty, who is a high school student from Fredericktown, is playing Joanna in the show, and then Josh Polite is playing Signor Aldolfo Pirelli, which is probably the most fun character in the show.
Yeah, most colorful,
but
at least.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, yeah, there's two. The beggar woman.
The beggar woman is throwing her hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, the contrast between Liz as a human and the beggar woman
can act.
Yeah, for sure. This is the true definition of acting, because Liz is one of those people that everybody loves Liz, and she's the sweetest person you'll ever meet, and she's a wonderful mom, and she works so hard.
And the curtain goes up.
And her character in this show is awful. Debaucherous. You know?
Clutching your pearls.
Yeah.
That's probably why I like it so much.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I said something to her because she said she wanted this role, and I'm like, are you sure? And she was like, it's all pretend. Yeah. She's like, I come here and I get to be that person. It doesn't mean I'm going to be that person when I go home, you know?
I hope not. Right. Yeah. In relation to my character.
Honestly, I think that is the single best description of theater that I've ever heard.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's times when, people get upset or they get scared or they don't know, how to take something.
Right.
But that is honestly one of the most insightful things I've ever heard. Wow. And I wish that you could just put it on a t-shirt and hang it up at the door to the theater.
This
just
is
like
all
every
pretend.
Time you come in, just read it.
Yeah, because a lot of people do get worked up over sensitive material, And for one, I mean, we're doing our best to kind of, not necessarily clean the show up, but make it so it's not gory and disgusting and things like
soften
that.
Soften it, yeah.
Because Sweeney Todd essentially is a love story. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a weird love story. You know,
love and revenge.
Right, you know. Exactly. But people need to understand that, you know, that we're not coming here and like worshiping this, and we're not preaching this to someone. We're just telling a story, you know.
Sure.
And so I'm really, really proud of this group and the group of people that we have and how open-minded people are. It's just, it's been a wonderful experience so far, and I'm super excited to put this cast in front of an audience.
Something that I don't think I brought up for the last show that I'm always interested in is costume. Is this a heavy wardrobe kind of production?
Yeah, it is. You know, period costumes, you know, late 1700s era, you know, and so almost like winch type dresses and, you know.
Top hats. No, not so, so much.
I get to wear a small one.
Right, yeah. So this show almost is in like Skid Row of London, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
So
I gotcha.
We're not going to be with the aristocrats and things like that. There's a few characters that will be dressed very nicely, but they're the ones you're probably not going to like.
I understand. These are the alleyway.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did just show Jason a picture of my homemade boils that I will be wearing.
Nice.
Just a little teaser.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Right. Once those are, like, those are, you can use those for all kinds of things. I mean, if you want.
You see the gears turning in Brandon's.
Yeah.
Make me
I'll
some
send
boils.
You the link.
It's like, when I'm in line at the grocery store, it's like, give me a couple feet. Like, back up off. Like, there's, you're not going anywhere. Like,
I've got quit your answer to personal space right here.
It's like, quit putting your stuff on the belt, man. Like, just, nobody's moving. Just give me some room.
Yeah, it seems like if you have, you know, pockets of pus on your face that people tend to keep their distance.
I'll keep it under my shirt, and if I get the cart to the ankle, I'll just open it and be like, you want some of this? Like, back
do
up.
A little hiss with it.
Well, I'm a big Halloween person, so I'm all about, like, costumes and things like that. I know in the sort of underbelly of the theater, we have quite a bit, but for these kinds of shows, are people like making part of it or ordering stuff?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was like, London and her mom are doing a lot of sewing.
Yeah.
Taking some costume pieces we already have downstairs and just
retrofitting.
Frankensteining them and putting them together and making them work for what we've got. And I know a lot of people are ordering some things too for mm-hmm. themselves, yeah. just because it's kind of fun and exciting to collect some things for yourself.
Uh-huh. I know personally like gone around all sorts of thrift stores, shops, all kinds of stuff, just looking for fun little pieces to add. It's fantastic. I love it.
People come to me all the time, and they're like, all right, we have this thing going on. Do you have a Cinderella costume, or do you have a Chewbacca costume or something, you know? And I'm like, we have like pants and shirts and jackets that we can do from different eras. I was like, we don't really collect or have... you know, movie character type costumes and stuff.
There's
I thought
a couple
we were about
weird
to find out
there.
There was a Chewbacca costume down there. I'm
like, there's a couple weird ones down there, I gotta say, like
full
body chicken and cow costumes and things.
Yeah,
but
I saw a box.
Can't really
I've never
use
opened
them.
It, but there's a tote in there that on written on tape on the side, it says horse costume.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
So
dude, let me wear one of those to a basketball game.
I'm hoping it's one of those two people.
Two person.
You know, I got dibs on front.
So you and your mom are, what, running some kind of sweatshop at your house? Let me see your fingers. Are they worn down to the bone?
I don't think so. If anything, it's from playing guitar.
Is your mom, was she a willing volunteer, or was she voluntold that she needed to help you sew?
It's usually somewhere right down the middle.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
willing to help, but then she usually ends up getting way more work than she,
than she
yeah.
wanted.
Yeah. She did the costuming for the last show, and she said, never again will I do costumes. And then we were like, some person was like,
can you help me doing costumes? She was like, sure, I'll help you do costumes.
Yeah, she was like, I'll never do this again. But it was maybe even at auditions for Sweeney Todd, she came up to me. She's like, so you have anybody doing costumes? And I was like, you're on the team.
She's like, that's not what I was asking, but okay.
Right, she's so good at it, though.
Yeah.
That's a benefit. Yeah. Find somebody with short-term memory. Like, I'll never do this again. And then they're like, yeah, I'll do it. No worries.
Mm-hmm. That Dory from Finding Nemo. Yeah.
And then as far as the stage construction, is this an elaborate set or?
It's big. There's a lot to it. And by the time it's said and done, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. You know, we have to have a chair that will dump people in a trap door for them to fall through and end up backstage and stuff. And we're in the process of making all that. So the plans are laid out. It's just
technical.
And it's all about safety, especially with something like this. So, like, we're not just going to get it done and throw someone in the chair and do it. You know, all along the process, we're going to be dropping weights and doing these things to, like, you know, check it the whole way through and make sure everything's safe.
See, that's not what Todd told me. Todd told me that I was going to be the test, the crash test dummy for the whole thing.
Just put a helmet on, you're good.
That's the thing with Todd, is you can believe about 34% of what he says.
Very specific. I just like that the set is in, like, one piece. Like, it stays. Like, there's a couple moving things we move on and off, but the set as a whole, the building, we don't have to move.
It's there.
Yeah, which we built makes it a little easier. Buildings on stage and then have a 16-foot by almost 30-foot wide wall in the back that we're painting a big mural on, and it's got a balcony 10 or 12 feet up in the air.
And we don't have to move buildings on and off and store them in the wings. We've got more room.
There's an old 80s Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you'll remember this. It's they're fake. Saturday Night Live's fake commercials have
been the greatest
for decades and decades. But I remember one that was a trapdoor company. And the gist of it was, you know, there's this guy at his office or at his desk, and there's a salesperson. He, like, pushes this button, and the trap door only goes, like, part of the way down. So he's all embarrassed because the sales guy's like, would you try to trap door me? And then they're like, if you want the best quality, call Sullivan trap door, whatever.
That's awesome.
We come and install it, and they're like,
you need to get their number.
The hard hats, and they're like.
I'm sure you guys remember the Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
There was the SNL that was Crystal Gravy.
Crystal Gravy.
And it was, like, in glass jars, and they're pouring the clear gravy.
Clear
and,
gravy on it, yeah.
Chris Farley, like, dunks a chicken leg in it.
Well, and then Bill Murray had the slurry. His he's like, I get my water straight from the mountains.
Yeah.
And it was like pouring
chunky
gravy.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Bass-o-matic.
Yeah, I was hanging out with my parents a little bit this weekend, and somehow old commercials came up. Make sure your trap door goes all the way, opens all the way.
We'll definitely practice a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful I don't have to ever go down it.
You will, just
you
not
do
during the show.
You should, just for fun.
That was the first thing I said to Jason was, I got to be honest, I'm really afraid of this trap door.
Everybody's got to try
it. How many
at
people
least
go
once
down it?
Five.
Is that a spoiler?
Five or six.
Handful? Too many?
More than
thousands.
That.
Between five and eight. Between five and eight.
Yeah.
He's so, he
right,
just forgets.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They run together.
I don't think that's a spoiler. I don't think anybody's out there going, you know what, I'm not going to buy a ticket now because it's somewhere between five
right
and eight.
What people die.
Yeah.
That's why I still haven't watched Titanic. I know how
yeah, it's like the boat sinks. Like, I already know the ending.
Cool, thanks.
I saw this years ago, but there was this idea that theaters should advertise Groundhog's Day 2 with Bill Murray,
right,
and then just play the first one.
That would be great.
I'm trying to think of what else we could tell the audience. You all are apparently the elite. I didn't realize the cream of the crop was
I always try to bring
you
the best, Brandon.
The best of the best.
I'm
yeah
honored.
Why am I here, Jason?
By default, because you have the lead role.
All right. Your name's on all the posters. We sing your name 1,000 times in the song.
Whether you do a good job or not, we sing your
name.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's a little much sometimes. I'm like, they're really just constantly singing just Sweeney over and over again.
Sweeney. I'm loving it.
He didn't do that.
Sam doesn't have an ego at all.
No. No. It's just,
sometimes they're like, I run out of ideas. Let's just repeat the name over
again. All right. Yeah,
yeah, with, like, you know, 12-part harmonies.
Uh-huh. Was it Dana Carvey's Chopping Broccoli?
Yeah.
Chopping Broccoli.
Chopping Broccoli.
Just repeat it and you'll be good.
Right. Yeah, the Stephen Sondheim is a madman as far as theatrical music goes. Any of the stuff that he's done, there's something you're going through and you're learning the music and you're like, what? I've never seen anything like this before. There's one point in one song that there are five different time signatures at the exact same time. So one line is singing in 3/4, one line is singing in 4/4, one line is singing in 5/4.
And we're all supposed to line up.
Right, and then and they're all singing rhythms and patterns that don't really match up.
Yeah.
You know, and then all these, like, crazy minor key signatures and stuff, lots of sharps. And
you know what we're singing? Sweeney.
Yeah.
That's the word. On all those C double flats, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely parts where it's, you know, you hear the name Sweeney saying over and over and over and over. But this show is one of those that's like 90% music, though.
Yeah.
Like there's very little
scene
between the music. And as soon as, like, one song ends, there'll be just a little bed of dialogue that leads you into the next song. You know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's no break. You know, it's just a blackout and someone exits, lights come up, and the next person starts singing their song. But it's not, like, put you to sleep music,
though. Right?
You know, there's some of it that is very balladish, you know, but there's a lot of stuff that, you know, goosebumps. You know, you hear those crazy thick, you know, minor chords and stuff, and you're like, ooh, that's crazy. You know,
is this a live band?
Yeah, we will have a live pit band. And the way we do it here is they're not in the room with us. They're down the hall in the band room, and they have a video feed and an audio feed. So they're picking up on cues from the lines, and they have a screen in there that they can see. Like, you know, we give them notes like, when so-and-so enters, play this, or when so-and-so hits the bell, play this, you know. And Kurt Bauke is our pit band leader. He was, you know, band director at Farmington for years and years, and he's directed a number of bands here at Mac as well. And they've kind of put together a bit of a super group, to my understanding. And you know, they've got some incredible musicians. They actually had their first rehearsal yesterday as a band, and Kurt said that he expected them to be here for hours and hours and hours, and the plan was just to do act one, and he said they were through it in 2 hours. So and comfortable.
That's
so
exciting.
Yeah.
Because that's some difficult music. Like, our singing, obviously, like, we can only sing one note at a time, but the band pieces just blow my mind.
Right. Well, and the thing is like, from our standpoint, this music looks crazy, you know, and I've talked to a couple of musicians in the band, and they were like, my part's not hard. They're like, but once you stack everybody's parts together, it sounds crazy. Like, one of the clarinets was telling me, she's like, the book's not that hard. She's like, it's way easier than I thought it was going to be. But when I'm playing it with this person and against that person, you almost feel like you're playing something wrong, you know?
Yeah, you were saying about, like, how difficult it is to, like, learn the songs and lyrics and our solos. Like, the solos are the easy songs.
Yeah, because nothing else
It's when we're singing as an entire ensemble and there's five different things going on at the same time. When it's like, oh, this is hard.
You just have to keep going and hope that
You lyrics? Might only have one or two lines in that song, but it's so hard to find the ins and outs of it.
What are the lyrics in God That's Good with the More Hot Pies thing where it's like, it's
nonsensical? The lines don't make sense. Like, there's a song that we talk where people are ordering all the meat pies and they love them and they're so good and they're like, you know, God That's Good, more pies, more hot pies. But then the very end, they just start combining it. So it's like, more pies, hot, good, it's so delit, love pie. And I'm like, okay. It's like that's hard to memorize. Aneurysm.
Right, yeah.
It's so good.
I remember the first time going through that one, I'm like, I feel like this is a mistake. This is printed wrong.
This is a misprint.
Right, yeah.
So that's just, it's easy to memorize words, but it's not easy when the words aren't words.
And we've done some big cast shows here before where you really feel like there are very segregated, you know, like this group and that group and this group of people. And as far as a cast this size, I feel like we have the most tight-knit group nice. I've ever had in a bigger show. Like, that's good. You know, there's a couple of people that, you know, they kind of hang off in the wings a little bit or whatever. But for the most part, I feel like everybody gets along with everybody in this show.
Mm-hmm. And everyone just wants it to be successful.
Sure. And there's so much talent. And usually when you get this much talent in a room, egos get in the way, mm-hmm. and people don't like each other and they feel competitive with someone, or they feel like they're being challenged by someone. And I don't pick up on everything, because there's been times that shows have been over and someone's like, I can't believe how bad I got along with so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, I didn't pick up on that, you know. But I really feel like in this show, everybody's really out to help everybody, and everybody wants everybody to succeed. So that's a wonderful feeling. It's one of the biggest things I try to bring into that room, is to have that kind of chemistry.
And nice. I want to say, like, with the ensemble, some people, and in some shows it's true, but in some people think that the ensemble is like the easy part. I have said so many times during the show, I am so glad I don't have to sing that, mm-hmm. because the ensemble has the words that don't make sense,
yeah. mm-hmm.
coming in at the randomest times, and then also they have all these like songs that come in between all the other songs that they have to hold their own parts. Like, there's like 6 or 7 people at a time, mm-hmm. and everyone's singing their own thing. So, like, every single person that we have in the show can hold their own, is putting in the work. I mean, we've seen it as we've been rehearsing every act, so it's definitely not an easy thing.
It's the sort of nonsensical order is The Great Outdoors with John Candy.
Yeah.
He comes back to the key. He's like, bear, big bear, big bear chase. Right. Big bear chase me.
Yep.
Well, maybe this cast's bad guy's Liz this year. Sounds like she's the problem. No, I'm kidding.
Well, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually the only sane person. The character is really interesting because she's deemed insane by mm-hmm. everybody, but in the end, she's really the one that's actually yelling out the truth, the reality of what's happening, but nobody's listening to her because mm-hmm. they don't want to hear it.
Are your sons teenagers?
Yep, 17 and 19.
Yeah, the mom of teenage boys sounds like she'd be the most
You know,
insane.
I never made that connection. That's genius.
Yeah. I keep making all these old references, but this idea of, like, you know, the curtain creates a completely different character. They did that with Reagan on Saturday Night Live. He's like, oh, you know, he meets the Boy Scout, and then they go into a closed door, and he's like, all right, here we go. We got to right. get the tree. And he's, like, yelling at everybody and all fierce. And then
yeah, you know, my first show here was the first – it was like a bucket list item in my mind that I never had the guts to do when I was these guys' age. I'm so impressed with them. But I just find that being on the stage and, like, pretending to be someone else, and just it's such a great outlet for mm-hmm. emotions. Even if your character doesn't have the emotions that you have, you get off and you're like, you get off the stage and you're like, wow, I didn't know I needed that. But, man, I really needed to yell at that person.
Yeah, sure.
Or whatever it might be. And it's so cathartic, and I just highly recommend it.
Yeah, for me, like, when I was doing theater. I didn't start doing theater until I was in college. I went to a high school that didn't have a theater program, and came here on a music scholarship, and someone was like, man, you should really do a show. You should do a show. And I'm like, I don't think that's anything I would enjoy at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing it, fell in love with it. And the biggest thing for me was getting to not be me, you know, it was therapy, you know, and for 3 or 4 hours a day, I got to show up here and be someone that didn't have the problems I grew up with, and someone that didn't have all the issues and addictions and things that I was dealing with at the time, you know, and theater essentially fixed me, you know. It's something that it turned my life around, you know. I was given an opportunity and was told that if I messed it up that they would take it away from me and I wasn't allowed to come back, and so I straightened up for that reason, because you know, the therapy I got from being on stage and from making all those friends and getting to spend all that time with all those people was better than anything else that I was doing in my life.
Mm-hmm. Just to put on my teacher's hat, similarly, I struggled with chemistry class and math class, you know, just like a lot of people. But I, you know, my students would be like, oh, I only want to take these kinds of classes. And I'm like, yeah, in 20, 30 years, you may not need to remember, you know, the algebraic equations or whatever these are, but it's the process of going through it. And it's this, like, you don't know what you don't know. And if you take a class that feels out of your wheelhouse, you never know what might happen. And then I heard or read a quote a while back, something to the effect of, there are no new ideas. There are only old ideas put together mm-hmm. in new combinations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not necessarily new stories. There's just new combinations. So doing things, whether it's taking a class, being in a show, playing a sport, joining a club, anything that, like you said, oh, I don't think that's going to be me. You just never know. You never know what's going to happen. So. Yeah.
And anybody mm-hmm. can dip their toe in it, because Mafa's got a theater camp over the summer mm-hmm. for all ages. I don't know the exact dates. I know it's in July, I believe, but
22nd, I think. So the summer musical, I think, is the 17th through the 21st, mm-hmm. and the theater camp literally starts the next morning. So, yeah.
Okay. Yay, theater.
So Sweeney Todd runs at the end of February, and then does anybody know the dates on those?
February 29th through March 3rd.
Okay.
It's a leap year.
And this is a leap year, yeah.
Yep.
So that Thursday is the 29th.
Correct.
And then is there one more play than before May or before graduation?
Yeah, we're actually going to do Romeo and Juliet between now and summer when this mm-hmm. show's over. So the auditions for that are the Sunday after this show. So I guess that'll be March 10th.
10th, yep.
And then the performance dates are the first weekend in May.
Okay.
Yep.
That's actually good to know. So any listeners out there, March 10 will be the audition day for the upcoming, he says, Romeo and Juliet?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That'll run in early May, just yep. before graduation then.
It'll be at 2 p.m. in the Mac Theater.
Mac Theater, 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Is that a Monday then?
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
Yep.
Okay.
So a lot of that is based on doing cold reading.
Okay.
So, you know, you show up and we'll grab three or four people to do a scene together, send them out in the hallway, let them read through it for a few minutes and bring them back in and let them read together. And they'll swap and do a number of characters throughout mm-hmm. auditions.
I misinterpreted that. I was thinking of cold reading like you hold up a shape and I have to cut it. Is it a square? No, so yeah, you get some lines, you work with other people. So Sunday, 2 p.m., March 10, Fine Arts Theater.
Yep.
We'll be audition. I want to say tryouts, kind of the same thing. Auditions for, you do 50 push-ups and jump.
Right,
down.
Yeah.
You're trying out for the theater.
We got a game February 29th.
If we do, if we end up doing Chicago next spring, we might actually have physical tryouts.
See, leg kicks.
Yeah, see who can do certain things, you know?
Well, I won't be there.
Sam's dancing right. skills are limited.
No, limited and non-existent are not the same thing.
So, listeners, go to, was it MA?
MAfineArts.org, and tickets are $12, and they're still available for each performance night. And if anyone has any sort of special needs or needs assistance as far as front row seating or accessibility for a wheelchair or something like that, just reach out to us, and we'll make sure those accommodations are taken care of before you get here.
An insider tip: if you stack two people on shoulders with a trench coat, tickets are only $6. Get yourselves in that way.
Look at you. Yeah. The people behind you will be upset, though.
So grab your tickets. It's going to be a super fun show, and then the weekend after will be tryouts for or auditions for.
I like that laugh. The
auditions for Romeo and Juliet.
Correct.
A relatively unknown performance.
Yeah, it's very, very little known.
Deep cut. It's one of the.
It's a B-side.
And
the plan, and we can't really advertise it until we obtain the rights, but what we're looking to do for our summer show is going to be Matilda, mm-hmm. Which is very, very popular right now. And I don't see an issue with getting the rights, but you just never know.
Yeah,
you apply for them and they'll be like, nope. And I'm like, oh no, which is what happened because we were supposed to be doing Chicago right now.
Okay.
You know, I sent off for the rights and it's one of those shows that they tell you ahead of time. They're like, this one's not easy, you know, that somebody's always touring it kind of thing. So sent off for it and they were like, not this time around. It has nothing to do with your institution, but it's interesting because no one was actually touring it, but there was a professional group that had it on their interest list. So they didn't want to give us the rights and then that person launched their tour and then have to call us and be like, hey, we know you've been rehearsing
somebody
for 6 weeks. Let's take it away from you now, you know?
Favorites.
So that's the way they explained it. They're like, it's easier to tell you now than take it away from you in 6 weeks. So,
yeah,
okay,
sure.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. So we'll try that one again sometime. But, yeah, I'm super excited about this show. And I've said this before in different interviews and stuff, but this is top to bottom the most talented cast I've ever had. And that's not taking anything away from any other cast I've had. Like when we did Seussical, there was so much talent in that show, but there were 81 people. You know, and so they can't all be talented, you know. And I mean, they can't. Sorry, that came out way wrong. They can't all be at the same level.
I can
of
see
talent.
The meeting. There's at least 20 of you in here that are terrible.
I always make sure.
But we need the bodies.
Right. Yeah.
So count. Consider yourself lucky.
I always tell people
if
like,
I
when we're walking
you,
out
I
of
would.
Rehearsals, you know, I love most of you guys, you know, stuff like that. So
he keeps it real.
No, they can't all be at the
keeps
same level.
Humble.
Yeah, right.
You know. But thanks for making more out of that than it needed to be, everybody. Should have seen the looks I got. But this show, like, there's nobody in this show that I would be like, you know, they're not that good. You know, like, everybody in this show is good. Yeah.
I was worried.
We used air quotes last time. So
yeah.
Said air quotes.
Said Hannah was
not
a
that great.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll tell the story when we're done. They've already heard it. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, if you're going to join a show, just know that you might be at the bottom of the bucket.
But we need to fill the bucket.
Yeah. Right, yeah. There always has to be the worst person, right?
No, I'm just yeah.
Because then we all struggle to do better.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we know what you mean. It's, again... We're sitting here with the upper echelon of theater, so Josh is struggling to compose himself.
Per usual.
He's getting a little
yes.
Right. It's a good thing we've got silent laughs.
Exactly.
We're like
red faced. Yeah.
Josh falls apart pretty easily.
I do. Yeah. I love trying to make myself cry just on command. I'll be like out with friends and stuff, and I'll just make myself cry and then die laughing at them because right. They're like, "Oh, Josh, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Totally, yeah."
Acting is
right.
Molly
actors,
Shannon's.
Yeah. Actors,
yeah. Acting. I'm just thinking out loud to myself if I need some. Alterations. I'll send some clothes to London's mom to fix them up for me.
I think she's got a niche area that she works in. You need a bustle put in your skirt? Sure. A nice lacy collar, perhaps.
Who doesn't
see,
love a lacy collar?
All of us like 80s windbreaker suits.
Oh, oh my
god, that would
yeah.
be awesome.
Like matching, just different colors, like the Power Rangers.
Yes. Please, I would love that.
Liz is not amused.
No,
right.
I'm just thinking of all the possibilities.
She's thinking of what color she wants.
I think little, I might have one of those in my closet.
Yeah. I bet there's some in my parents' basement.
With little, you know, barber razor embroidered on the front.
Nice.
Sweetie Todd on
gorgeous.
The back. This needs to happen.
Yeah.
I'll call a guy.
Exactly. I know a guy.
Need some
it's
members
London's
only
mom.
Jackets yeah. in the bookstore. Yeah,
I found one of those probably 8 or 10 years ago at a thrift store, and I was like, "What?" And so
nice.
I checked the price tag, and they wanted like $65
yeah,
for
right.
it, and I was like, "Everything else
thing.
In here is like $4."
Like,
you
I'm
know
not
why?
A member.
But I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Can't
it's members
to be a
only.
Member.
They
right?
came back. Yeah, yeah, they came back, and there was a wave. They were popular for a while, and I think it kind of dissipated again, but. Oh, yeah, man. Windbreakers were the jam back in the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah.
for sure.
The wind didn't stand a chance.
The wind did not stand a chance.
Made get more noise than the wind.
Right,
yeah. Your neon fanny pack. Yeah. And your
I think fanny packs are making a comeback, too. Oh, you see them quite a bit now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're a little more stylish, and they, you know, they go around the back, and they've got different styles.
Yeah.
No, I'm wearing the ones from the 90s.
Yeah.
I
mean,
like right in the front.
They got a glow in the dark.
Why do you think they go to thrift stores?
It's like a bright teal Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Fanny bag.
Ghostbusters, you know? Something. Right. Some kind of obnoxious logo on there. Yeah, Transformers, whatever you got.
I would wear a Transformers fanny pack. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
I would if it were the original. I'm right, not into this whole new wave. Yeah. No. It's crazy.
I don't want the Michael Bay version.
No, it'll just explode. Give me the old school. Yeah, old school Optimus. All right, well, I think it's time for us to get out of here. I appreciate you guys coming in and talking to us again. Any final words of wisdom, meaning of life? No? Yeah.
I mean, tell all your family and friends. You know, like this show means a lot to us and the program. It's something different than we've done. We know we have an audience for the classics. We know we have an audience for the family-friendly shows. This type of show has a different feel and a different vibe, but there is just as much talent, there's just as much entertainment, and this is something that, you know, there is an audience out there for this, and we need all of them to show up and show their support. Because I'm pretty sure everybody in this room would like to continue to do shows like this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It only happens with success. If this show does tank, which I don't think it will,
no,
but if
I don't think
if
it
were to, you know, the people over me would probably be like, hey, that didn't go so well. Let's kind of stick with what we were mm-hmm. doing, you know? But I want to expand our audience. I want to have people from all walks of life here, just the same as I want them all in the shows. You know, mm-hmm. I want to be as inclusive as I can with our casts, with our audience, with, you know, everybody that becomes a part of this. So everybody's welcome. Anybody that ever wants to be in a show, anybody that wants to help backstage, anybody that has experience with lights or sound or wants to learn that sort of stuff or anything, you know, if it's something that has ever interested you, come show up and we'll give you a shot and see if you enjoyed as much as you thought you were going to.
Yeah, this is definitely the one to come to if you've ever been sort of not interested in maybe the Shakespeare, the more kid-friendly mm-hmm. ones, a little more edgy, more fun. I would maybe not more fun, mm-hmm. but a different kind of fun.
Yeah. I got to say, with theater, like, theater pushes the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and it has to push the boundaries because those stories are just as worthy as being told. So this show definitely is a different wheelhouse than the things that have been done, and those stories are just as worthy as being told. But I think it's really interesting that we're expanding things to be able to bring those new stories to the Max stage.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, appreciate it. Get your tickets, MA.
Fine Arts, mafinearts.org.
Yep. All right, mafinearts.org.
If you want to see a whole other side of Liz Gonzelman, yeah. Come watch the show.
Watch her turn into a crazed animal.
Right, yeah.
This is the show
basically.
For you.
That's the one.
Cool. All right.
Picking on
yeah. Oh,
I praised you. Your character's
She's
supposed
to be crazy.
Good
at being crazy.
Yeah.
But then I
you're just saying all kinds of mean stuff today, Jason.
I was the opposite of mean. I said if you want to see her act
very
completely
well.
Crazy, you know.
Anyway.
You want to see the rage hidden right, just right. below the surface.
Oh, no.
Come on out.
Oh, it's there.
It's outlet. Saw it once.
Will you stop
it? The mom rage of having two teenage boys.
Right.
I was like,
right.
I've seen it come out of my mother.
Yeah.
I don't.
Just tap into that fury.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I see you got some studies to do for whatever test is coming up. But
that's her yeah. script.
Yep. Oh, I mm-hmm. see.
Lots
All right.
Lots of things. So it's very fun. Large.
Yeah. The largest script I've ever worked with. It's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
So be there. If you're not there, no one likes you and you're not cool. So come to the show, see it, get your tickets. It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot, everybody, for coming in. And we'll talk to you guys again next time. to preface Romeo and Juliet.
Sounds fantastic.
Sometime in May. But until then, yeah, get your tickets for the show, and we'll catch you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.